Hey, good morning, good morning. Good to see each and every one of you here this morning. Glad to have you here with us. Want to wish you a happy Mother's Day for all of our mothers. We got mothers back here, mothers out there. Thank you so much for being with us today, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more in just a moment. But if you turn with me, find a hymnal, turn over number 439, find your hymnal. If you stand together as we count your blessings. When upon life's billows you are helpless tossed, and you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, take them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, take them one by one, count your blessings, see what God hath done. Blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven nor your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Blessings this morning.
Amen.
Amen. I'm thankful for my mom. If it wasn't for my mom, I wouldn't be here. I use that joke every year. I don't know. Sorry. It's great. Well, we're glad you're here. We want to have a moment of prayer for the offering as we receive. Go ahead, gentlemen. Thank you. Please be seated. Amen. We have a gift for all of the ladies this morning. In the back, you may have seen it on your way in. We've got a little teacup, a little fancy teacup
with a saucer, and so you could drink tea like a Scot, right? And so I want to give you that, and there's actually some chocolate in there, so you can eat chocolate like an American, or like a Swiss, I don't know what, anyway. Maybe it's Cadbury, I don't know what it is, but it's probably Dove. But anyhow, usually we would pass out the gifts for the ladies, but because they're all uniquely paired together and so forth, we want to let you, on your way out, choose your own. So that's why they're back there this morning. We try to do something a little bit different each year, so it's unique. And I came up with the idea all by myself. Okay, nobody believes that. I did not. Anyway, you don't want me to do that. We'll have a brush or something. I don't know. But I don't need brushes. So anyway, please, ladies, take one on your way out and choose one that would be you like. You know, choose. It's your choice, right? I want to share a story this morning about a fellow by the name of Joseph Scriven. He was born in Ireland in 1819. He came from a respected family, had a fine education, and seemed destined for success and a comfortable future. But just before his planned wedding, tragedy struck. His fiancée drowned in an accident literally the night before their wedding day. And so Scriven watched the love of his life slip away, and that event changed the entire direction of his life, as you might imagine. Grief drove him to find a new start. And so he eventually moved to Canada, far from home, and carrying a broken heart, he began to live life with a simple purpose: to serve others and live out the teachings of Christ as sincerely as possible. Years later, love found him again, and he became engaged a second time. Yet tragedy returned. His new fiance grew severely ill and soon passed away. Scriven once more faced heartbreaking loss, and once more he turned to Christ as his only refuge and strength. In 1855, Scriven wrote a poem to comfort his sick mother. It was back in Ireland. She was going through a time of sorrow, and he could not be there to be with her in person. So he sent her a poem that described the greatest truth that he had learned, the greatest truth that he knew, the truth that had kept him standing through all the storms of his life. He reminded her that she had a friend in Jesus, a friend who carries every burden and hears every cry of the heart. Scriven wanted his mother to know that no one cares for the believer like Christ does. There's no wound too deep, no trial too heavy, and no sorrow too painful for the Savior who walks with his people. And so what he intended to be a message to his mother, this great truth that he had learned, as choir is going to sing in that poem this morning.
Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear.
Turn with me once again on your hymnal. Turn number 198. We have a great debt of gratitude to the UK and Europe. I say primarily the UK and what they've sent and what we have in this book. A lot of it comes from the hearts of those at that time that. Burdens that you say, why do we still use the hymnal? That's why. Amen. 198. Let's all stand together.
good morning, everybody.
For the week, we're going to go through them quickly. We want to give our missionary as much time as possible. We want to hear what he has to say. If you missed Sunday school, you missed a good opportunity to get to know him. We got to hear his backstory about where he's come from, how God's worked in his life to bring him where he's at now. I'd encourage you to go back. Was it recorded? It was recorded. I encourage you to go back and watch it if you didn't. That way you get to know him better. Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers here, but not just all the physical mothers, all the spiritual mothers we have too. There's a lot of ladies in this church who don't have their own children, but they invest in the lives of others like they're their own children. And me and my wife and our kids are recipients of that all the time. And so I thank each and every one of you that take your time to invest in our young people like you would if they were your own. Our business meeting after this evening's service, be a part of it. We encourage you to be here, members. There's a lot of good things happening, and you're going to want to be here to hear those things. With that, our teens and our young people, juniors, are getting ready to go to camp. We want to bring back up that we want them to have a part in earning their way to camp. So if there's any chores you have around the house, something you could use a helping hand, a small helping hand, or a teenage helping hand with, get with Brother John, Miss D, and schedule to have get one of them to come and help you do some things around the house. And then on May 21st, it's the end of the school year. Heritage Baptist Academy will have on that Thursday evening the awards ceremony. They'll present the students. They'll get to come up and show what they've learned, their academic achievements. So come be a part of that. Encourage them, because it's a big deal. That's a big deal for them. And the end of their school year, getting ready to go into summer and prepare for all the fun stuff that summer has for them. And those are the announcements as I know them. Pastor?
Amen. Amen. I want to... We're sure glad to have the Shore family with us, and we've been praying for them. Amen. Amen. We know about them, but we know about them from in their letters. I mean, it's not us. Brother John makes up some of it, but most. just kidding. He doesn't make up any of it, I don't think. And so there's a lot of things, but we want to. Have the occasion to get, have our missionaries come. We have others that come through the course. We've had come some, and but one thing we always do here, and go ahead. My wife's like, "Can I come up front to do that?" I always try to remember to put that out ahead of time, and I remember at the end. So we know what to do with that. If you want to give an offering, we don't put the offering in for the missionary. We don't put it on the plate. We put it in here if you want to give an offering for the missionary to whatever goes in that, we split. Just kidding. Some of y'all are crazy. No. So you don't write that. If you write a check, write it to their name. If you put cash, just put cash. And so and it goes right to them. And so we don't. And so if you want to give something for them, we'll do that. And if not, I guess they have to go. Anyway, I'm just kidding. I want to show the video, and so we're going to look a little bit at, got a video that talks about some of the things. He talked about his life and his past a bit this morning, but we're going to find their present and still past there. I am super glad to see they got took the taps out of the bar, out of the pub. Yeah, right. They don't do beers and Bibles or anything like that. It's praise the Lord. Amen. Isn't it a wonderful thing when you turn a pub into a church? Amen. One less bar and one more church. And I was mentioned to him, we spent some time on Saturday morning, and I said, it's such a rare thing for a church in the a mission work in the UK to have their own building. Paid for. Many are just moving. That's it. Move from place to place. And I say over there, even, you get up in Washington State, Seattle area. I know in Northeast here, we're talking about people, if they could just get a piece of land. We had given money to a church up in Vancouver trying to get a building. Sometimes the greatest challenge is just to have a building. So praise the Lord for that. That is such a blessing. And so, You know, if we will live for Him, the Lord will be faithful to us. Amen. Turn your Bibles, not your Bibles, your hymnals. Number 441, and let's all stand together once more. 441, great is thy faithfulness. Dismissed at this time. Wait for Brother Jonathan. Wait for Brother Jonathan. Let him go first. All right. And go. All right. Go on ahead. Let's. All right. Let's get Hudson. Come on, girls. Come on, Hudson. You're going to enjoy there. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Go ahead and be seated. Amen. Amen. We should have sang a little louder. No, I'm kidding. Amen. Well, again, we are thrilled to have the Shores with us. I put a little pressure on our missionaries to say, hey, we got to hear from you. When I first got here, I said, hey, we'd just like to hear from you, you know, every other month. Once a quarter, I think I said, once a quarter. And it's so, not that, but other missionaries and all of our missions. Some we had, I couldn't find a letter from them. And so, we got missionaries doing that and said, hey, I'd like to come. And missionaries were coming and going, and they never came visit us. Like, we'd like to to meet you, and I said, we'd like to get, and so right away they said, we'll be there. They gave us the very last Sunday, Mother's Day. I appreciate y'all coming. I do. I really, it is a big deal for, we make missions a big deal around here. We really do. I don't know why, but we certainly have a heart for that, and the work that's in other places is not like the work that we do here. It's the same stuff, but it's you're going into somebody else's land, and no matter how long you stay there and you pick up their ways, you even wear a kilt there, you know, you can, you know, do the bagpipes, which is pretty cool. I think I want to go to Scotland just to go listen to that anyhow. Much as you do all those things, it's still, we have to try to find our way in there to get the gospel to a people that once upon a time brought the gospel over here. Praise the Lord for that. And so we're debtors. Amen. And so appreciate those willing to go back to those places. Some are going to places that have never got it yet. The Lord tarries his coming. I mean, there's already countries sending missionaries back to America. Could you imagine that? It's happening. It's happening. And so, praise the Lord for them to be here, and I want you to receive what they have. Come on, brother. Come on ahead. Appreciate you.
All right. I do appreciate your pastor, and we enjoyed going to breakfast with him yesterday and had a fine meal. Thank you, church, for providing a place for us to stay the last two nights. This is one of our longer trips. You know, God allowed us. We had 33 meetings in 96 days, and so it's pretty busy, but God really allowed us to have a circuit. So this end part is kind of dropping down, you know, a little bit. And so it was a long trip, but so nice to have a day off yesterday and just enjoy the area. We saw manatees. We saw alligators. We saw tortoises, lizards. I mean, other Florida-type things. And so we just kind of enjoyed that, and our boys love that kind of stuff. I like it too. And so that was fun for us. So thank you for providing that extra special time for us. But it's good to be back. Our church is a church plant. I mentioned that. And so we're also involved in missions. And so our church supports four missionaries, and we have Faith Promise. And so we kind of went through that right before we left. And we support a missionary in Portugal and a missionary in Italy, and then Northern Scotland, and then Ireland. Ireland's a men's home. We support the man that started the men's home, New Hope Residential, and 20 beds, and helping guys get off addiction for a year, and that kind of thing. So I appreciate a church that's missions-minded. And I'll just say, looking at your church, God's giving you a healthy church, and so it's exciting. And so there's a lot of loads of potential that's here, and so praise God for that. And so we're glad to be with you. We didn't do a Q&A this morning, but afterwards, if you have a question about our field, Scotland, we are very much debtors to Scotland. Scotland, a lot of the Bible Belt, Scots-Irish, you know. Obviously, we're indebted to England as well. But a lot of the strength of Christianity in the United States is the persecuted Christians coming to the United States, settling here. And then the missions impact of Scotland is phenomenal. In modern church history, it's tremendous. So part of that is what I ended with, and I'm gonna pick up a little bit kind of where I left off and give me a chance to get to know us this morning. What I want to share is our building dedication message, what God put on my heart to share with our church and those that would visit on that day. But I wanted with them to go back over the story and how we got into that property. So more specifically, because it is very significant, we asked our churches to pray about it. We asked them to take that need to the Lord, because we realized on a physical level, we're never going to establish our church without property. So it has to happen. And it seemed impossible in a lot of ways. So what we're challenging our churches with this time, since God did the miracle there, is for faithful people, that God would give us people that would be, see, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night is important. Come a little bit early, stay a little bit late, and do something for the Lord. Because we too are poised for what God wants us to do. But really, the steps forward, we're really just hurting for faithful people. We have some. And we have others that we just love, you know. And it's just a growth process. And so please take that to the Lord. But I started to say, I ended with James Stewart's biography. So James Stewart is the missions movement back into Scotland in the 1960s. And he was a Scot bringing students back with him. And so in the 1960s they came. And in now it's been, 65 years or 60 years. And there's not a lot, but we're starting to get some traction. And so your pastor knows the Brinkleys that are over there. They have a building that God's allowed them to acquire. There's another friend, the Damascuses, they're way up north, and they've got about 240,000 pounds that God's provided, and God's doing a great thing there in Aberdeen. There's a lot. It's amazing to me when Rick speaks about the numbers of people that they have in their congregation. It's pretty phenomenal and unusual for Scotland. And so the fact that God's done this miracle for us with the building is tremendous, and it really is something very significant. So I want to give God glory for that. So kind of, again, and just kind of filling in on the story, I am going to preach because at the end of what I shared, I go to a text that God put on my heart to share at the building dedication. It's Ezekiel chapter 37, if you want to turn there, but you'll probably be marking your spot for a little while. But Ezekiel. And so our family was 4 years raised in support. We got to the field. We flew the last week that my wife could fly. And it was neat how God brought the money in right at the end. We were lacking 10% as we went up to have our commissioning. We had to have 100% by our board's regulations before we went to the field. And God brought that 10% in that last week as we went up. And so we traveled the last week she could travel. She was pregnant and expecting Nelson. And so we got over there, and a month after we arrived, Nelson was born. So at that point, we had 5 children. Our oldest was 7. And so Kaylee down to Nelson, and then God would send Mac a little bit later. And so our church met was the Miners Community Center. It was a room that would subdivide. It was a great place to start. You know, you're praying about a location that was one of the big prayer requests. But this room, probably a hall about as deep as wall to wall, and then putting up a wall just past the door frame was about the width of it, and a wall that would fold out and be the middle of that. And for 10 years, that was our church, and it was great. I say it was great. We were happy there. Katie had her creche or nursery was about 8 by 8, and she'd have, I don't know, too many kids in there, no restroom in there. So if they had to go out, they had to go through the back of the where we're meeting, you know, to go out and that kind of thing. And setting up, taking down, typical missionary thing. And but we lost that. So when COVID-19 happened, everything shut down. We didn't have our own location, so we didn't have a location. We were supposed to be back. We might have been scheduled to be here in 2020. We were going to go on furlough the beginning of March, but COVID happened right then. And so we were 3 months delayed. We had to rearrange all those meetings that we had and just do a 3-month instead of 6-month. And so we're actually, we're back here and having to pray and ask God about where we could meet. And we ended up going to a place across the road from us, the Glencore Center is where we ended up going. And so it was hard when we lost Lonehead. You know, that was the village that we started in. And so what our area is a bunch of mining villages. Margaret Thatcher put the mines out back in the 1960s. And so, but all the miners area, kind of a working class people. So we just ended up a few miles from there, but felt very much like we're outside of our area of where we started the church. And I had to claim what the Lord said to Samuel about King Saul. How long will you mourn for him, seeing I've rejected him? And I thought it was Ichabod, you know, that the glory has departed. Lonehead had her chance, you know. And so that's kind of where we were. We started a weekly men's prayer meeting a few years after we arrived. And one of our early prayers was for God to provide a church property. And so the man I mentioned, Rick Damascus, he's one of the guys that meets with us. There's 6 of us that get together in the center of the country. And we spend a couple hours in prayer in the morning, have a sack lunch, and then a couple hours in prayer in the afternoon. And so that was one of the things we carried to the Lord. 153 The Loan is a building that was a 2-story building that became available, say, in around 2016, 2017. And we went and saw it, and it would have worked. It would have been great. It would have seated about 100 downstairs. Upstairs, you could have the kids' classes. I'm not sure how that would have worked as far as sound. It would have worked. On-street parking. And we're over in Ireland. We go every year to Ireland, the boys and I, in April, to a men's camp. And it was at way down Southern Ireland by Cork, and I had a prayer time, and I said to the Lord, "Lord, if you'll," I was praying about that property and asking God to provide for it, and Lord, if you'll take our support account to this amount, I'll drop it to this amount. And it was just kind of a transaction prayer time, and put that money into the building. And I, in my heart, it was like God had answered. If we know that He hears, what's what we ask? We know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. I can't explain it, except there was just that sense that God has answered a prayer. I went back, told my boys, God's answered it. I told Katie, I told the church, and then that property sold. And that was hard, because there was such convincement in my heart that God had heard that. So we carried that disappointment for several years, and this church carried it with us, you know. And one thing I'll say, we do monthly prayer letters. We have a webpage, missionaryshore.com. We communicate. If we get communication, we communicate. And so our churches are very on board, very aware of what was taking place and praying with us about it. And so we continue to carry that to God. In 2021, a bank property became available. And so it was going to be sold. And our church on the 12th of April viewed it and prayed together there about it, you know. And again, it would have worked. It would have been a property that would have worked. On the 16th of April in 21, I asked God for a verse regarding the prayer for a property. And God gave me our text. Ezekiel 37:14, it says, "Shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord." Okay, so I know the date because it's recorded in my Bible. You know, I wrote that down. God gave me that verse, and so I scheduled an online meeting around that same time there with my pastor. Pastor Dan Sturtz, and Brother Steve Anderson, who was the field administrator for Baptist World Mission. This is not the Steve Anderson that you might know, okay, if you know somebody by that name. But this man, good man, godly man, and online Zoom conference with them. And that morning, on my morning run, I was praying, and the prayer was, "If it be thou bid me come," Peter's prayer, just asking the Lord, "If this is of you, make it clear." And so I spoke with them, and Pastor Church, we talked for 45 minutes, an hour, and Pastor Church said, "You know, why don't I write a letter to your supporters letting them know about the need?" And I said, "Pastor," I said, "we've never asked for anything on deputation, in our prayer letters," and just kind of left it there. And after that conference, I got off the call, and I just was incredibly convicted that I'd said to my pastor, "No." And so I called him back or messaged him back and said, "Pastor Sturtz, if you feel led of the Lord to write a letter, that would be fine." And so he did. And so here's what he said. "What's the bottom line? First, pray, of course. Brother Shore has been seeking the Lord's will in this and is willing to personally sacrifice from his own funds to see this happen, if God should allow this to happen. Second, give. I'm committing our own ministry here to do something, at least take an offering. Our church is not large, but it's a giving of many small gifts that God often uses to supply abundantly. As I close, I cite from the passage in 2 Corinthians 8:9, where Paul reminded this church of a commitment to give to a need sometime before his writing this letter. He was reminding them in case they came for the gift and found out the church had forgotten or not followed true. In his reminder, he gave a great blessing of what happens when we give to needs. 2 Corinthians 9:12, "For the administration of the service not only supplieth the one of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God." Notice, he says, that the need is met, but God is also glorified because believers receiving the gift will be praising God with many thanksgivings for having met their need. Okay, so he sent that on the 8th of May. On the 3rd of May, I'd sent a prayer letter, and the prayer letter had said, you would have gotten this, "If you receive these prayer letters by email, you'll have seen pictures from the inside of the bank building. Our church family has no doubt that this property would be an excellent property for a church. I don't want anyone to be misled. We have no ability of ourselves to purchase this property, and we can't afford or get a mortgage. However, I also want you to know that this does not hinder us from praying in faith for God to make a way. If nothing else, we're glorifying God and acknowledging, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. We very much appreciate you praying in faith with us for God to make a way, if it be his will, that we acquire this property in the heart of Lonehead. So the day afterwards, we got an email back. And it was from a friend of ours that we had met at a church that we didn't have a meeting at while we were traveling. It was a church that we were at because of a major surgery that our son Logan would have. And so I'd gone in to the meeting. We'd just gotten in, set up our travel trailer. That we had the little kids. There was things to do. And so it was just me going in that night, and I prayed with the man. And that man had, after that, supported our family personally for maybe 5 years. And then we'd get Christmas cards. We'd keep in touch. But it was from him. So this is, you know, 12 years, or actually more after that, 14 years after that. And the title was Your New Church Building. And he said, I'd like to help you acquire the church building. It's very nicely situated in a busy street corner. Would be a great home for the saints, a good place for the gospel to go forth to all of Scotland, as well as a safe place for building up the saints. When do the funds, $350,000 USD, have to be raised? Or when do you need to make the offer for the building? It would be great if the funds came from multiple sources, a combined effort, and I can try to make up for the difference. Does Baptist World Mission have a cryptocurrency account in Coinbase or other cryptocurrency exchange that accepts USDC coin? This way I can send funds to them that way. Okay, and so I got that, and obviously I'm like, wow. I mean, that's really significant. Other churches and individuals began to respond. There, it was neat. It was what was neat is that nobody, we didn't. I never sensed that there was any sense of, well, you're sure, you know, that this is of God, or are you stepping out, you know, where you shouldn't. There was never that sense at all. But a great confidence in God's leading. That week we were notified that the closing was set for the following Thursday, meaning all offers had to be in, and you had to have financing at that point. And so I let this brother know about it, and he said, Ben, I set aside, and I've got my notes, I've been saying $370,000 for this, and it was offers over $250,000. So we put in a cash offer of £265,000. That God provided, and then we waited 3 weeks and found out our offer was not accepted. And so then it was a matter of waiting on God and just praying, okay, we've got resources, but we don't have property, and it was very difficult to find anything. And so more money would come in, to the point, as I think I said in the video, we had £390,000, but no property, and a process of waiting on God for that. And so I asked our supporters to pray the verse that was in the video there, Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And there was a lot of encouragement at different times. One specific encouragement was just a letter back, or an email, quick email back, a supporting church pastor. And he just made this statement from Daniel, I think, chapter 2, where he's Daniel says, but there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets, okay? There's a God in heaven. And so that was encouraging. And so meanwhile, we had gone from different locations to the point where we're meeting in the Midlothian Innovation Center. And in the video, I know it's all kind of very quick, but you got this jump from property and then to a kind of another property. It's that property, and in the video, you can't really tell, but it would be like a third world type church location. It would not be one that you'd think, oh, you know, this would work really well, you know, in an affluent society, because you had to kind of come up these back stairs. You're very near where Dolly the sheep was cloned, okay? But other than that, you're not near kind of anything. It's kind of more of the University of Edinburgh property, veterinary area, and things like that. But it was a great hall. That was really nice. It had a cafe. It had a classroom. It was one of the nicer places that we could meet as far as what it gave us. Well, at the same time, during the local elections, I wrote to a friend of mine saying, you know, I hope you do well tomorrow. She was conservative. And I said, and I couldn't do evangelism because I was ill. And so kind of had the evangelistic heart. And I said, I just want to tell you, I said, No party represents believers. And just so you know, this is what the Bible says about authority of Scripture, exclusivity of Christ, And then all the hot button issues that our world is so enamored with, homosexuality, transgenderism, abortion, fornication, marriage, and just bullet points in Scripture. Not mean, not unkind, just saying, just so you know. It ended up being 7 pages long. And so that Wednesday night, we had a prayer time, and it was just a special prayer time. We didn't have a lot of people that were there, and so we just said, well, let's just go to prayer. As a college student, another man in our church, my boys, myself. Katie had a child and another college student in, with her. I texted her about halfway through and said, will you mind just taking that little girl home? We're having a good prayer time. We prayed for a couple hours. That was not normal. Saturday, Katie and I were knocking on doors, and it was raining, so we're in these flats, and we got to the bottom of the flats, and only 3 people had answered the door. The 3rd person was this lady that answered the door, and it was like, you're not ready for the day, shower cap, whatever, you know. I said, I could tell you're not ready. I said, here's a leaflet. Just want to invite you to our church. Turned to walk away, and she goes, Ben, don't you recognize me? And I recognized her voice. I turned around, and I said her name, this counselor, and I said, you don't live here. You live in this other village. She said, well, you know, we just, things happen, you know, in her life, and she just moved into this area. She was the one that I wrote the letter to. Okay, so God gave me a divine appointment with her the week I wrote it, and I said to Katie as we walked out, I said, I think it's going to get a little hot, okay, because what God had put in my heart is to take that that letter and condense it into a flyer and to put it out to our community, and it was called the Open Letter. And so because of that, we started, we were up at a men's camp in Scotland, found out the Open Letter got criticized in the paper. A friend of mine, who is MP, Member of Parliament, British Parliament, not MSP, Member of Scottish Parliament, he was quoted as saying, a small minority of right-wing religious zealots can't believe we have these people in the community. Bend the flyer. He says his staff wrote it. I've got still a good relationship with him, okay? So whatever the case, but that happened. That fueled a lot of social media pressure against us. That pressure came to bear on our rental locations that we had. And so they said we lost our let because of electrical issues. And I don't know if you remember this, praying for us. We've got to have a place. We only have a month. It didn't happen. So I said, can you extend it? They said, okay, we'll extend it another month. It didn't happen. We couldn't find anywhere. Finally, they said, you got 2 weeks. And right then, we went to a community that was the hottest community and got into a bowling club that was there. And we're there just for a little while. And there was a lot of pressure there to the point where we lost that and ended up going to back to our original location. And I'm condensing a lot of stories here. There's a lot that was going on there. And so it seemed a very low point for us. We've got 390,000 pounds. There's nowhere to buy. Now we have nowhere to rent because we try to rent properties, and even though you can't discriminate because of religious views, they're discriminating because of religious views, and so we can't get into anywhere at that point. Meanwhile, we had made an offer on the South Church in Pennycook, a building from the 1800s. That was beautiful. Waited 3 weeks, was declined. We had a piece of property that was near us where we live that we found out if we develop it, it's got to have a purpose like a hotel, okay, to build on the green belt. And so, and then we had to do ecological surveys. We had to do other surveys on the property as far as historic, you know, things. And so that was a dead end. And there was a friend I had, still have, Brother Craig Ledbetter in Ireland, and he called me at this low point. He said, Ben, he said, I'm flying in and going up to a meeting at this brother in Dundee. Could I stop by? I said, that would be great. I said, we're in the thick of it. He said, I know, I get your prayer letters. Okay. I just about had tears, you know. And so he comes, and it was great. Showed him around, and at that moment, we had found this property that was so familiar to us, just 8 blocks from where we started. And it was Brother Craig that went with us over there, walked around it, and he's the one that said, "You're going to need 500,000-600,000 pounds. Get on the phone, call every pastor you know, get this property." And but the neat thing, that property, it wasn't for sale. I didn't know who owned it. It was actually owned by kind of a group that owned 400 pubs, you know. Because of the pressure we were under, because we're losing our lets, I pursued a line of inquiry that I wouldn't have pursued if it wasn't for that, and found out who owned it. I talked to them. They said every pub has its price. And so we went and saw it. When we saw it, the cellar, it does have a cellar. If you remember the first video, you go down in the cellar, and there were kegs down there, and there were pumps for all the alcohol, and all that stuff was down there. But there was also 3 inches of water. And so that was the first time we saw it. It was kind of like, oh, you know, what are we getting into? I'm not a builder, you know. And I mean, it wasn't nice, but it had good bones. And so we had it inspected, and we put an offer of £235,000 in on it. And they said no. But the secretary called me. He said, look, I think if you get this up to $275,000, they'll accept it. I emailed some friends and said, what should I offer? You know, because I knew we needed money to develop it. And Brother Craig emailed me back, Ben, don't make him beg. Get the property. All right, so that motivated me, and I offered $285,000, and they accepted it. And it was a tremendous encouragement because right then that area that we'd gone into, the Roslyn Bowling Club, we were there 10 days, and because of the pressure they were put under, they apologetically said, you're going to have to go. And so that's when we went back to our original location where we started, which was the Lord. They had not let us back there because they were waiting on a COVID contract. But right at that moment when we needed it, God provided. And so the neat thing, we never missed a single meeting in a location. Not a Sunday night, not a Wednesday night, not a Sunday school, not a Sunday morning. Though we were kind of like a skipping stone, you know, going to different places and leaving when we had to and so on. God did it. And so it took us, in my notes here, as I shared this at the building dedication, a year and 5 months to renovate it, which is amazing. 190 liters of paint to paint the outside of it. We had to have 10 days where it didn't rain in Scotland where we could paint the outside. Incredible renovations, as you saw in the video, that where you walk in, you got the dance floor lighting, and the dance floor, that's the sanctuary. And it's a miracle of what God would allow us to do, because it is everything that you could possibly want. And so God's been extremely good. You know, when I made an offer on the bank building, God gave me some scripture. It was kind of interesting, and this isn't my experience often, but it was like, it was so clearly of the Lord. It was Psalm 60, verse 11 and 12. It says, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. And I tell you, in the last 5 years now, we have leaned on that. Because it's been tough. You know, get a building, you think, it's just going to, the church is just going to go to beat the band. But there's so many battles that just are not anything, any one thing specific. But just turnover, you know, as we're waiting on God, seeing God do some tremendous things. But God's been extremely good. And we want to give God glory for everything that he's done. And so on the building, as it said in the video, Psalm 52:9 is there, which says, I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. And, you know, you stand in the building, I'll just say so many times, I just think, only God. Only God. There's no explanation. You know, it's comforting in tough times. Like, all right, God's in it. Look at what God has done. And so we praise God for that. But you've been a part of that. And so we want you to know that story. And so Ezekiel 37, I wrote in my Bible, not just God gave me that verse, but I put in my Bible, building dedication text. I put it there before we had the property that God would give to us. And so I want to encourage us with what I encouraged those that were there. Realize those that were there for the building dedication, it wasn't just our church family. In fact, it was more other missionaries that are there in Scotland, fellow laborers that are serving God in a country that's a tough country. And so what I wanted to do and what I want to do this morning with the time that we have here is just remind us that God is able to work. He's able to work here and now. And so let's just pray, ask God to bless as we take a few minutes here in the Word of God. Father, we're grateful for the Word of God this morning. Thank you for it. And Lord, I've shared a lot of stories. But again, Father, they're a testimony of what you have done. And Father, I praise you that with God, all things are possible. Because from a building standpoint, we've seen it. Father, on the other side of what we desire to see, in Scotland. What I'm going to share shares the other side of what we're burdened about. But I just pray, Father, remind us this morning that we serve a God that's well able. And Father, like Caleb, we are well able to overcome it with God. And so I just pray, may the Spirit of God strengthen us. I can't speak without your enablement. I pray that the Spirit of God help me preach biblically, practically, lovingly, and powerfully the truth of your word. Give us ears to hear, please. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And so God is able to work here and now. So God is able to revive a nation at his pleasure. And so verse 11 of our text, it says, then he said unto me, and it's, if you don't know the context, it's a valley of dry bones that God has brought Ezekiel out and to see this. And he's just looking at it. It's just dead, okay, in front of him. He says, then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore I prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, and I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Okay? And so the question this morning, do you believe that God is able to revive a nation? Do you believe that God has the ability to do that? I can share statistics about Scotland. They're very sad. It has the highest drug death rate per capita in Europe. We have the highest per capita openly homosexual parliament of Europe. There's other things that I could share. I could share statistics about churches. We're traveling in the United States. We're talking with your pastor. Your pastor and his family have done the same thing. And one of the neat things about missions, it gives you an overview, maybe things that you might be here wondering what's happening around, you know, the United States and churches. We get that perspective. And I could share some things that are concerning about declension and needs for pastors, needs for youth pastors, need for church leadership that's there. But, you know, nothing I could share this morning could beat God's illustration of dry bones. Out in Colorado, as my dad grew up there, we went out there for my first 23 birthdays. We're out in Colorado and out on Uncle Joe's ranch, and there was a windmill and a watering tank for the cattle. And I guess some cattle didn't make it to the watering tank because I just remember you walked around the property and it wasn't unusual to find cow bones, you know, just dry bones. And I never looked at those bones and thought, oh, they're going to get up, you know, they're going to move or something like that. They're dead and dry and dusty, and that's what God is showing him. And so the prophet struggled to believe this idea that the bones could actually come back to life. And so, verse 3, then he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. You know, how would you have answered that? It's an illustration that's in front of you of the spiritual deadness, the complete inability of man. I mean, that's a difficult question that the Lord asked the prophet. You know, can these bones live? Ezekiel cannot bring himself to say definitively, yes, they can live. Okay? He can't just, because you look at it from a human perspective, you think there's no way that these dry bones could live. But he answers in faith. He says, O Lord God, thou knowest. It's like, okay, I'm gonna put it back in your hands because that question is too big for me. I struggle with it, you know. But Lord, you know. The people struggled to believe it. Verse 11. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. They say, it's tough sometimes. It's tough because we look around and we think, oh, it's declension. Oh, it's death. Nobody wants it. They can't hear. They can't think. They don't feel. There's disconnect. There's no life that's there. You know, there's that sense of deadness. And so the people, like, you know, our bones are dried. Our hope is lost. We're cut off for our parts. And so that was their heart. And so where do you stand in your belief? Can God bring revival? Can God revive a nation? Can he quicken and make alive? And so, I mean, would you believe that dry bones can hear God's message if you preach it? Because you look in the text in verse 4, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. As a pastor, or as a preacher, your pastor would attest to this as well. I mean, that last thing I want to see in the pew is a skeleton, you know? Because at least if there's life, there's hope, you know, that something could get through, something could break through. And so he's got a message. He's to preach it to dry bones. Oh, ye dry bones, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Notice, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. The bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet in exceeding great army. I praise God, Ezekiel was obedient. Prophesy unto these bones. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Preach life to them. So I preached the life that God could give through the Spirit of God to them. And praise God, Ezekiel was just faithful to look at the impossible and say, okay, Lord, at your command. It's kind of like Peter, I guess. I preached a message recently on Peter as well, where Peter goes out and launches the deep. Lord, I've toiled all night and I've gotten nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word. And so this morning, do you believe that God can bring life and that God can revive a nation? You know, one of my favorite verses about revival is in Isaiah 41:17, where water is an illustration of the Spirit of God. It says, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue filleth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. You know, I can't say this morning that God will revive Scotland. I can't say that. But I can say God can revive Scotland. I can't say God will revive America or Titusville, but I can say God can revive Titusville. God can revive the United States. And so there has to be that faith aspect in our hearts, or we're not going to preach. And so do you believe that God can revive a nation? You know, praise God, God is also able to make us know that He is working. Verse 13, it says, and ye shall know that I'm the Lord, when I've opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Here's the phrase. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. And there's a sense where this has happened with Israel. There's a sense where it's going to happen again with Israel. And I understand this morning this text is a prophecy about Israel coming back in the land and millennial and other things like that. But it's a picture to us of what God can do and what God is able to do. And when God does it, when he does it, then you look at it and say, only God. I know that the Lord has spoken it. I know that the Lord has performed it. You know, when we got to Scotland, it was difficult to get into the country. It's very difficult now. And in getting into the country, we had to have a sponsor. That sponsor, we had to connect with him on a daily basis. And I thought, rather than being a burden by that, I'm going to let it be a blessing. And so every email, I didn't just say, hey, Brother Gritz, we're still up in Scotland, okay? I said, Brother Gritz, this is what God's, dear Brother Tom, actually, this is what God's doing. And what was neat is it made me reflect on what God had done that day. You know, there's so many times that God is working, and we just need to see it. Just to be reminded, hey, God's working. God's doing something. And one of the greatest things about the building project, as heavy as it was a heavy lift. Okay, God just gave grace. God gave motivation. That was neat, too, because you look at it and think, I do not want to whatever. And then all of a sudden, God would give the motivation, and God would give the ability or the help to get it done. But one of the greatest things was seeing God answer prayer. You prayed with us about the leak. Do you remember that? We got a leak in the building. We can't find it. And Nelson and I climbed up into the roof in a storm, went in there. It was dry. We came outside. We looked at the eaves, and the water was wicking around behind this board that was running down. I thought, I wonder if that's it. And so when it dried up, we plugged that, and it stopped. But God helped us find that. We had the baptistry. You might remember we were praying about that. And God not only supplied the men to do it at a price we could afford, but provided exactly the amount that we needed for that. So many other things that I could speak about that God did. You know, I just want to remind us that so often we can look at what God is doing and just be encouraged and say, God is working. You know, we can see the hand of God. And so be encouraged. And then God is able to make the heathen aware of what he's doing in our lives. And so, verse 26, it says, "Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore." You know, praise God, at that point, even the unbelievers look at it and go, it's God, okay? And so it's not just that believers look at it and say, I see the hand of God, or God is able, or but God has done it, and to the point where unbelievers look at it and say, maybe only God? You know, there's that sense that they recognize as well that God has done it. You know, at our church, we had a few big prayer requests that we'd take to the Lord. We are praying that God would fill up the chairs in our services. We're praying for God to give us a property. And we're praying for God to shut down the pubs. Our area had 14 licensed communities in a village of 7,000 licensed premises. God allowed us to accomplish two of those in purchasing a pub and making it into a church. We pray that God would help us do all three, that we could see the building filled for his glory. God also put us in a place where social media could not push us out. And so there's all this pressure. And all of a sudden, you know, not only did God give us a property, but God took the local pub that was on that part of Lone Head, and he made it into a church, so that our flyer that's going out right now says, you would have never thought that a public house could become a place of worship, but the God that made a public house into a place of worship can take you. You may not think you'd have anything to do with God. From that to being a Bible-believing Christian that loves the Lord and is serving God. They don't see that, but they're beginning to recognize, okay, maybe God did something, because they look at the outside of that building. That building speaks continually to people in our area that there's a God that has done something for Southside Free Baptist Church. That's what we desire. Psalm 79:10 says, "Wherefore should the heathen say, where's their God? Let him be known among the heathen in our sight by the revenging of the blood of thy servants which is shed." Why should the heathen today say, where is their God? And I'll just tell you, people, you talk to them about buying a property, taking a pub, making it to church, and they say, why do you even need that? People don't go to church. People don't worship God. And so why should they say that? Are you burdened about it enough to really take it to the Lord? Joel 2:17 says, "Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. Give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God?" There ought to be something in our hearts this morning that says, man, we need God to do something. Because God needs to be seen. So that all these that are naysayers, that are mockers, that are unbelievers, that their mouths will be silent. Because they'd recognize that there is a God. You know, praise God, God is able to bring them that to their minds. You know, God is a powerful God. Psalm 81, verse 10, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." And so may God help us to just be believers that open our mouth wide in prayer and say to God, God, we are praying for revival in Scotland. I pray for Titusville to see revival. We need America to see revival. There's a tremendous need. And so God is able to work. He is able to revive a nation. He's able to show us he's working. He's able to make the heathen aware of what he's doing. And so we go back to verse 14. "I shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord." Father, we thank you for the word of God this morning. Thank you for this church. Lord, it's encouraging, so encouraging to See the attendance at Sunday school. See the excitement about missions. Father, see a church that sings vibrantly and from their hearts. And Lord, worships you in spirit and in truth. It's a church that's been a blessing to us, holding the ropes in prayer and finance for 18 years. And Father has blessed us as a family just in their hospitality to us these last couple days. But Father, I pray, may the Spirit of God just encourage Heritage Baptist to continue and to fight on. And Father, may the work of God just continue and grow to the point where unbelievers look at it and say, you know what, I believe God's doing something there at that church. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I am I'm drawn to what Ezekiel had said, and what the Lord is saying here. He said, behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. But then the Lord, thus saith the Lord God, I will open your graves and so forth. You know, sometimes we could lose our own hope. We could sit here and say something like, what can I do? What difference am I going to make? Or there's no way God can use me to do anything for him or reach him. I tell you, folks, often our greatest enemy in this thing is us. God wants to do so much greater than we could even imagine. Amen? Let's all stand together. Father, I do pray that you'd help us, Lord, in this time of invitation. As the piano begins to play, Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, speak to hearts. Maybe there's some here that would, Father, they would say, you know, I haven't really put my trust and my hope in you. I've been trying to do it on my own. Lord, I want to acknowledge this morning that we cannot. Or maybe you've spoken to hearts in some ways, or whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you'd move them to make those decisions. And we'll thank you now. Listen, if God has spoken to your heart, pray now's the time to come. The altar is open to you. Sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. Amen. Is he able? Maybe. No, he's able. Amen. We don't know what he will do, but we know he's able to. Praise the Lord. Listen, I appreciate you being with us together on Mother's Day. And I expect you to be here on Mother's Day. But I want to acknowledge the day. And so I'm going to give you a gift, the choir, no practice tonight for Mother's Day. So go spend an extra 30 minutes or an hour with your mom, and or thinking about your mom. if your mom's not there, just think about mom. I'm going to send my mom a text. I'll probably call her. I'm going to call my mom. All right? I'm going to go the extra step. I call my mom on Mother's Day and her birthday. I mean, there's other times I talk to her, but on holidays, we just text. But I'm going to call mom. I'm going to bless her. Anyway, just kidding. And so my mom will be here pretty soon, a few weeks. And so we got a gift, ladies. We got a gift. Please get one of those. And then every time you're drinking tea or coffee or hot chocolate, whatever you want to do from that cup, you can just remember that we thought you were special. Amen. So please get one of those back there. And then this morning, if you'd like to give a gift to the Shore family, we have that available up here. Yes, be here for a business meeting tonight. We're going to give away some money. Amen. So you come, it could be, no. You've already given the money, so we're going to disperse it out. Yeah, we're having a raffle tonight. No, not like that. We're not going to give it to you, but we're going to vote on how we're going to give it. Listen, folks, we don't really have in our Constitution that we have to vote on how we're going to do. You've given it for that purpose, but we just want to be a part of it. And so I like money to be, it's not mine, it's the Lord's. And so we do that. We give it together. We vote on it together. So, man, I love that, those meetings to do that. And so look forward to that tonight. And if you didn't get a card for the Shores, their card, I had one up here. Anyway, you know what they look like. Oh, there it is. So we have their card. If you didn't get one, get one and get one of their family members, any of their family members, to sign that, and it makes it more value. Anyway, get one of them to sign it, and it's special that when they're here, we may not see them again for a while. They can't be popping back over all the time. The longer some of those fields, you know, a missionary leaves, he's got to rebuild. Even though there could be other good people doing it, it's still a challenge. So it may be a while before we see them again. So get that. And then next time they come, and you could say, I remember last time you were here. Amen. All right, let's be dismissed.